Today I'm going to be starting a short series, and like I said, I'm trying to keep it short. I know our time has also changed with so many other things lately, and but the idea of focus. I remember so many times throughout life when I was young, growing up, it would be something my mom and dad may have not said to me specifically to focus, but they certainly were saying those things in what they were telling me. Roger, if you're doing something, do it this way. Pay attention to what you're doing. And we've probably heard many people say that. Pay attention. Pay attention. I remember back when I was coaching baseball, James was in baseball, and so I had just too much time on my hands and was able to become an assistant manager with the team that James was on for those 3 or 4 years. But over and over and over again, the head coach would say, focus! Focus! All the kids would get up there, and whether they were swinging the bat or catching a ball or something, there was always distraction. Distraction was always a problem for them. And distraction throughout life is always going to be a difficulty for us when we're trying to accomplish something. Even today, a lot of us may be wanting to sing songs and want to be being a part of a lesson, and just these barriers here or the mask they're wearing, all those things are things that are constantly just pulling away a little bit of our attention at one time. So one of the things we're going to start off with today is looking at focus defined. Not a hard word, we understand what it means, but just sometimes going back to these definitions as we do these lessons is useful. Focus is a noun. It's typically referring to a central point as of an attraction or attention or activity. So when you're talking about the focus, what is the focus of this conversation? What is the focus of this lesson right now? What is the focus of the class that you're taking or the exercise that you're doing or whatever thing that is happening at the moment? What is the focus of that? What is the central point that you're trying to accomplish? And we'll look at some of those things today. The main thing with focus is the idea of concentration. The picture that I've got on there is word focus, but it is clearly out of focus, and that's just something to make us think about. What's the big danger about focusing? It's when you don't. I don't know why this is in my mind. One of my best friends, I've talked about him many times before, he lives over near Philadelphia. Him and his dad were both excellent woodworkers. And I always, whenever I see this word, I think about him working on a lathe. And if you know a lathe, you just take a big piece of wood, typically a square piece of wood, that's held up between two posts on the end, and it spins at high speeds, and you take an awl or a shaper, and you just press on that, and it cuts into it. And I've seen so many pictures of that gone wrong. When somebody's doing that with long sleeves on or long hair or anything, it gets wrapped around that because it's very dangerous. So the thing I think about when I see the dangers of not focusing is that is in my mind. Maybe you have something of your own. But to be focused is to be accomplished. It is to know, I want to be here, I'm going to get here, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to stay on those steps until that trajectory is reached. As I mentioned, this is going to be a multi-part lesson as we're trying to fill the needs of the congregation and trying to bring lessons from God's Word that will help us to think about spiritual things through the month of June. Cody, Kyle, and myself will be taking us in that trip, and hopefully we'll be benefited from that. So today we're going to be looking at some keywords: focus, searching, find, and warnings. And then next time we get together, we'll be looking at vision, see, and find. So, to start off, some focus at work, and I think this will make some of you very happy because there's some of these on this list that at least 3 or 4 people in this congregation, I think, fill that role and know what the impact of focusing at work is. So, 11 careers for the perfectionist, as this goes. It says, jobs that require you to be extremely exact or accurate. And this is from, I can't see it very well over there, but thebalancedcareer.com. You may be able to see that. When we post this on our site, you'll be able to read that, maybe look a little bit more deeply at what they say are the 11 careers for perfectionists. And I wanted to start off with an asterisk there for this disclaimer. We're going to be talking about median wages, and just in case that's not clear for you, that's the wage basically in the middle for each one of these careers that we're talking about. So when they give you a dollar amount for an annual salary, they're saying this person is right in the middle. There's people that are about halfway below, people that are halfway above that. So what are they? I don't know if there's any airline pilots in the congregation, but that's number one on their list. The median annual salary for a person that is an airline pilot is $137,330. That means they could go up to 270 or down to around 80,000 a year. We're not going to be focusing on salaries, and we're going to try to get through these quickly. But just be thinking about that. We're talking about focus. We're talking about jobs that require focus. And as we go through this list, I think you'll pay attention. Why does an airline pilot need to have focus on his job? Well, if you're a passenger on that plane, I think it's crystal clear to you why that takes all those things. I love the movie that was out a few years ago about the pilot that landed on the Hudson River in New York and all the things that he had to go through and everything that prepared him for that moment when they landed on the river. And all those people survived. It was because of his focus was crystal clear. He was fully vested in the safety of that plane and those people. Number two on the list of 11 careers for perfectionists is a director. And this could be any director, a director of movies, a director of television, a director of news shows or commercials, and so on. It says their median salary, $71,620. The next person on the list, and I know there's a couple people that could basically raise their hands for this, different degrees of being an accountant, but there are some monetary accountants in the congregation. There are some accountants that deal with other things. Another person that has to be very focused at work. An accountant is held accountable. That's one reason why they have the title they do. They basically represent the safety and financial stability of companies. What about a laboratory technician? Yes, you have to be very focused on your job to make sure that what you tell people is accurate. Number five, a court reporter. Okay, you have a case that goes to a judge. Was everything recorded? If somebody says, I don't think that's what we were talking about. Well, yes, because this person right here does their job. They're very exact at what they do, and this is what the record says. Number six, a pharmacist. I think I could ask any of you if you take any medications, and probably all of us do. Some of us, as we get older, take more and more and more, and it seems like half your day is spent either counting pills or taking pills. You need to make sure that that pharmacist gives you what you're supposed to get. Because a doctor gives a script to you and you take it to the pharmacy, doesn't mean that that pharmacist is 100% guaranteed to give you what you are asking to be filled. Most of the time they do, but there are cases that doesn't happen. Another person is an editor. Could be a book editor, it could be a story editor, a movie editor, whatever the case. There's another median salary for you. A veterinary technician. Everybody seems to have pets these days, and having a person that understands what the dog or cat or whatever animal you have, horse, cow, could be anything, what's going on with their biology is very important. What about a translator or an interpreter? Well, if I want to say something to somebody that's very important, especially think about the people at the UN or these meetings that they have, are they representing fairly or accurately what somebody's trying to tell them? Because if they're not, the conversation could go very badly. An insurance agent, another person that has to be very exact with the things that they do. And last of all, number 11 on their list is a computer programmer. Some people that deal with that in the congregation as well. So we've got some pictures here. I haven't had pictures in my lessons for a while, but I want you to be looking at these things, and then as we get that picture in your mind, we're going to talk about some other things. We're talking about now focusing on God, or being focused on God, with this idea of focus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And then following up with verse 3, not a passage that we don't use often, but it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, witnesses are focused on what's going on in front of them. Let us lay aside every weight. Well, what's the problem with a weight? Well, a weight is something sometimes that makes you defocused. It's holding you back from paying attention. And the sin, which is another thing that holds people back from being focused, which easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. What should our focus as runners be? Looking to Jesus, following him. If we don't take our eyes off the person we're supposed to be following, we won't trip. The author and finisher of our faith. Jesus started it, he finished it, he's the perfect person to follow. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Another word, couple words underlined there. Christ has sat down. He has completed the race and his whole mission. Now, who do we follow? What pace, what direction are we running? And then continuing in verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So again, Christ was constantly have people trying to defocus him, trying to trip him up, trying to get him to fail in his mission as being a Savior and the perfect Lamb of God. But he did not. He completed the task, and we can follow him. We've all probably had these a few times. The one first x-ray I found last night I was going to use was one with somebody's left shoulder all busted up, and I was like, I don't think I want to do that one, because I had that of my own just a year or so ago. So what's the picture talking about? When we're looking into the idea of being focused, it's the idea of searching for the answer, searching for the mission, finding, looking for what you want to accomplish in whatever that task is. This is a short passage, and it's kind of changing direction a little bit, not so much how we are to be focused, but how God focuses on us and why we need to stay focused. And it just says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." So the psalmist here is saying, test me. Test me and make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Because all of us should be willing to be tested to make sure that we are on track and that we're doing what we're supposed to. If every job had a manager or a boss that allowed you to give them whatever you wanted to give them back, we would never have things be successful in life. Everything has to be made in the direction of what was required. Some coins. This is what we're focusing on there, not so much the rings, but that's supposed to be treasure. This idea of searching for focus. And starting off in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So all that is required in order to have the search work out. Continuing on, we see the parable about the woman that had the lost coin, and she searched through the house, she swept it, and she didn't stop until she finally found it. Again, our idea of being good at being focused is having that tenacity. Even if things don't go the way they should, do whatever it takes to get back on track. In Ecclesiastes, I'm going to just put all these up on the board here. I know that some of them are marked out there, but just to make sure we don't run over in time, you should be able to see all those passages. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 12 through 13 is at the top there. And you see there, Solomon is basically using the wisdom that he's been given by God. He has plans for it in a good way. But in the other verses that I have listed there, chapter 2, verse 3, and chapter 7, 25, you see what Solomon started off in a very good path, going down and becoming very human with his goals, trying to find out about the things that were gratifying to the flesh, that were guiding his heart through wisdom still, but were laying a hold of folly and other things that he talks about there. So I encourage you to look at those things and see that even the best people that we have record of sometimes can fall when they lose focus. And that's exactly what Solomon stopped doing. He stopped seeing God. He stopped seeing his role as a judge and as a leader of Israel and began looking for himself. And we have to be very careful for that. Picture of lambs there. The lambs would probably be very happy that. Mike, Lennon, and Edith, I'm sure, are very happy to see that. They probably know that kinsperson there. I'm not sure what his name is, but you can ask later. In Ezekiel chapter 34:6, it says, "My sheep wandered all through the mountains and every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth." And that happens with sheep a lot of times. Well, how did they get that way? "And no one was seeking or searching for them." So through Ezekiel, we see God saying, the people that I want to be collected and assembled for me, whether talking of Israel specifically as this passage is, or just today, all God's people, they're all wandering around, and who's actually shepherding them? It continues on in verse 8. "As I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became a food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Nor did my shepherd search for my flock." What were they doing? Why were they protecting the sheep? "But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock." We see this carried into the New Testament as Christ also says, the fields are white with harvest, and we need people to go out there and take care of them. And it's what was handed down to us as Christians today. Go and find those sheep that are out there. Another part of being focused is finding things. In Acts chapter 17, we see some passages that talking about some of the missionary journeys we see. And it says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few Greeks, prominent women as well as men. So what was the focus of these people? Their focus was paying attention to what was said and then making sure that it was accurate. You know, on the job list that I had up there earlier, we were talking about people that were court reporters and how important it was for them to make sure that they accurately portray the things that were talked about. And this is exactly what's happening here. Those people at Berea did some investigation. That sounds good. Let's see whether it was true. And they looked back and they saw. Romans 8:27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is not talking about me or you or anyone else here. This is talking about God in Christ, searching our hearts and knowing what is in us, whether the Spirit's there or not. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. How can we have an understanding of who God is? Well, the Spirit can do that for us. And I think it's very timely. I included some of these verses because of the study that Cody's leading us in on Wednesday nights is exactly that. And very important things for us to be thinking about. Running a little bit over, I know it's hard to do it in a short time frame. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 is a very important passage. We talk about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. This idea of making us, bringing us into existence in a different way, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. So what do we focus on there? Something that is absolutely permanent, something that will never go away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So that is our focus. 1 Peter 1:10 through 12 says, it talks about the prophets and the angels looking into these things. They wanted to know about them, but we have the revelation to us today, and it's very important to us to be thankful to God that we have this opportunity to know what that is. Continuing on with finding focus, for Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Again, that idea of following Christ. And this baptism there, this picture just... kept using it, and I think I posted it on our Facebook page a week or two ago talking about baptism, but I keep seeing Cody and Andrew in that picture. I don't know if you do too there, but what I keep seeing. 1 Peter 3:21 and 22, talking about the antitype which now saves us, being baptism, and it explains so well, probably one of the best definitions of what baptism is in Scripture, from Scripture, and so important for us to be focused on that when we're trying to think about pleasing God. So what are the warnings? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, it is impossible for those once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift. Basically says, if you're a Christian and you go back to being what you were before you were a Christian, it's just like bringing reproach on Christ. It was a waste of time for him to come here, and you're guilty of his blood on the cross. And continuing on in 9 through 12, talks about this transition. We have confidence in better things. Yes, the things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work of labor of love. And it goes on to show all the things that we can do as a Christian, and that we need to maintain those things and continue to do them. For the whole idea of this focus is to stay on course and not lose heart. It's hard to get all that into a short amount of time, but just the main question to ask all of us today. When you think about focus and you think about being a Christian, where is your focus today? Is it just trying to get to the building? Is it just trying to get your masks in place? Is it just trying to get the kids together or be there with mom and dad? Or is your focus trying to please God, trying to be an instrument of God, trying to be that accurate portrayal of what Christ is on earth today? And I'll leave that with you today. If you have any needs that might need to be brought to the attention of the congregation, or you have need of prayer, please let those things be known. Or if you want to be baptized into Christ, that time is open for you now as we stand and sing.